Namaste, and welcome to this final homework session for last month's now homework. The topic of looking at the essence rather than the shape. And there's just a few to go through this week. And hopefully, those that have been submitting the homework regularly, you're beginning to find that in doing so, you are, as I was saying yesterday in the live session, you are holding yourself accountable. You're going to have to be able to feedback something from some source. You're going to have to be recording, noticing the shifts that you're having, the ways that you're dealing with things better, the areas that you're still challenged with, where we can apply the teaching in our life that we haven't previously. That will become clearer and clearer as you're feeding back on this homework, on this work that we're doing. And as the month rolls on, and this one has been a long one, in terms of the number of weeks of study we've had, then the benefits of doing this work are increasing exponentially. Have you ever seen a graph where it rises exponentially? First, we're doing the work and we're feeling a little bit better and we're noticing, you know, where we can apply it more. And then as we continue, the benefits just become, you know, exponential, in that you begin to see that all patterns are the same. Everything that's going wrong in my life is a reflection of what's inside, and I can apply this quicker and easier. And I stop trying to fix things in other ways, and I go right to the source. And then my actions to fix it another way are effective because I'm dealing with the causality that's behind it, the cause and effect belief. And I'm out of that realm of time and space when I'm contemplating and in the silence. I'm not affected by anything. I am not at the effect of my thoughts either. I'm open, I'm questioning. So if you stuck with it all the way through, fantastic. You'll really be seeing benefits. And I saw that when I saw some of you yesterday, you were just almost glowing. I wish you could see your energy, but hopefully you can feel it. You can feel, yes, we all still have our challenges, and we will. We'll all be always working on something, seeing something clearer. That doesn't have to be a struggle. That can be a delight and a joy when we're equipped with the tools to move through life in an open stance, to experience whatever life gives us, to help us decide what we want by showing us what we don't want, so that we can get clearer on this desire to live from that place, to be an inspiration to other beings, etc. So if you haven't managed to feedback homework, don't worry about it, okay? Maybe just have a look at if there's any beliefs around time and too much to do. You are outside of time and space, and time and space will rearrange themselves for you when you really grasp that you are not subject to time. Even the body really isn't subject to time. It's a reflection of you, a representation of you. And everything flows differently when we really begin to grasp this. Most of all, I want you all to give yourself a metaphorical pat on the back. It's really actually hard to very literally pat yourself on the back. Am I the only person that can't do it? But because you've done something amazing, you've stuck with this program. This is the third month that we've been running this program, and you really, really begin to see the momentum gathering of the work that you've been doing, even the intention to be in this, to be awakening fully. It is something profound. So just wanted to say that don't focus on, it's okay to see, okay, I didn't put as much homework in as I would like to this month. But take your focus off of that. As soon as you recognize that, okay, there must be some belief here in my way, I'd like to do this, you know, just immediately notice what's going on and then see what that's showing you, and take your focus off it. Don't keep dwelling on where you feel that you're failing, because it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. By the way, did you know it's not true that you're failing? You can't fail. So having said that, let's get started with this week's homework. Dear Helen, I'm finally feeling like writing you something.
Yay!
I'm very happy that I'm getting this homework. There have been a few reasons why I haven't so far that I can see. One is the form, being told only to write about a specific subject, and there being limitations seem to really curb me into resistance and fogginess. I was also sitting with the mind movements and feelings that were saying I needed to, I should, good student, etc., which didn't feel true to me. I did try to write a few times at the beginning from a should, and it was muddled and unclear. So you can see the causality there, right? If I feel I should be doing homework, then what I write will come from that should energy. What I send in will come from that should energy. And it will have that should be better quality about it, as you've seen. So write because it feels right to do, and examine these beliefs as you've done as to why it wasn't flowing in that way. I've been following the homework throughout and asking the group their feedback on things, which has been extremely helpful. Good, good. I never read the spiritual classics before. I've associated them with yoga and religion. I had no idea they are so alive and beautiful. Translation is very good. Oh, it's lovely. The same exquisite truth that we find in any teaching is available anywhere when we're not looking at it through our ideas. And it's one of the reasons why I'm introducing these different texts, these classic texts, as well as obviously my own books, because it's going to open us up to this universal truth. It's been the same, whichever mouth it's been spoken out of, it's been the same throughout the eons, and always will be. You know, each teacher or teaching will express this truth in a slightly different way, and that's the beauty of it. There are infinite number of ways to express the truth, and hopefully we can begin to fall in love with all of them, and to push through kind of resistance like you've done. So it makes me really, really happy. The Upanishad Isha is crystalline, like a very fine bell or prayer symbol, exquisitely light-filled. I don't feel like there is anything I didn't have some basic level of understanding around, but I love that this has and will continue to happen. Life keeps revealing things in its magic way. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it that kind of living from that place? Just watching life reveal something to you that looks negative, and then you turn it into something beautiful and magic with your seeing, with your transcending. So life keeps revealing things in its magic way. I read it over the first 2 weeks and then was distracted by a lot of things coming up, and inquiring into essence took over. This has been my practice for some years now, inquiring into the essence of things, and has been very much stretched and deepened by your guidance. Thank you. This week has been very heavy with different things, heavier than in a long time. Do you remember I said yesterday, right now, on a global scale, obviously with this situation going on in the world, but internally, there is an intense, this actual waking up process is going on everywhere, to whatever degree everyone is able to comprehend it. And we will feel it as an increased amount of stuff coming to the surface, which is why it's really important that our attitude is correct to what's coming up. It might be a period of quite a lot of stuff coming up, and we can make sure that we remind ourselves that that's coming up because we're succeeding, because now we can heal this stuff, and that is pretty important to remember. So if you're feeling, you know, this is not just for this person that wrote this, everything I'm always saying is for all of us. So if you're feeling in the middle of a lot of stuff right now, it's because it is actually possible for you to really shift this stuff, transmute it back into peace. That's all it wants, whether it's some physical thing or financial thing or emotional thing that's coming up, or a combination of anything, any factor. So this week has been heavy with different things, heavier than in a long time, all kinds of old tendencies coming round for another go. Things I thought had gone, faint residues of past trauma and a possible relationship breakup. I was walking up and down the beach today, tuning into the right question, and it got very simple. Am I really feeling awful? Radical vibration lift within minutes. I'm always inquiring and contemplating throughout most of my day, a part of me now. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You can just, in this open stance, anything that comes will just automatically be transmuted. All of our old karmic patterns are going to come back up to, in one final way, to show us where we're still believing in causality around them, where we're still believing in the shapes that are present in them. So I might have this karmic pattern around a certain being, and it might come back up again. Why is this happening? I've dealt with the emotions, I've dealt with the thoughts, but I might still be feeling it, the effect of some other being, or that I can do something to change them or something like that. And then even one last time to show me that they're not really there in the way that I think, that I'm believing in a shape rather than the essence. Essence is me. So they'll come up again for that, like peeling the layers of the onion. And as you get down to the bottom, there's just no substance to this karmic pattern anymore. The same kind of layers I've described in the Transcending the Mind book. Eventually we get down to the last layer, which is there isn't really the form there, actually. It's just the essence. Each karmic pattern is based on some other being, some other thing that we want or need, or want to need to get rid of, something we want or need from another being, or want to give them, or something like that. I'm tuning into stillness more also, and I'm finding a more easy relationship with this as I do it more. Although for sure there's resistance too, I just let it all be. Good, good, good. Don't judge the judging, right? I am committing to it more. I know that I am that, and I guess that's how the dissolving moves so fast. But I also feel the need to be saturating in it, embodying it. Of course, why wouldn't you want to, right? If you're realizing you are that, of course you want to revel in that. You want to sit in it. You want to enjoy it. You want to saturate yourself in it, as you've said here. It'll be really good for me to go over the homework you set us tonight. Is it lesson 2 or 4? Well, last night is lesson 3 that we did to look at. That's my area to really steep in, seeing that there is no separate self and inquiring into the body / separation. Hopefully, if I start writing to you more frequently, I'll be able to remember more details. That's fine. Just look at your success. You've broken through. You're writing because it feels right to do so. You're pushing forward with this. And just begin to enjoy, if you're not already, bursting through these limitations, seeing these shoulds and shouldn'ts and just letting them go, feeling less and less restricted each and every day, feeling more and more free and liberated already. And just, it's fine if someone was to write me and say, I'm writing because I'm realizing I haven't actually done any homework this week. I've just realized somehow it slipped under the radar, but I've realized, and here I am writing to say that, even that is beautiful. That's a breakthrough. It hasn't gone unconscious the whole time. I'm not saying that you're doing this. You're obviously pushing through this particular student, but there is no homework I don't want to receive. I want to hear of your successes and failures and challenges and where you're really struggling, and let me help you, please. I really just want to make this easier and quicker. I'm thankful for the texts and knowing we just have to read them and see more effortlessly. I've heard this, but not really been confident about it, and so not persevered. I'm thankful for the reminders and guidance, and our study group is wonderful. And I just want to say those groups, I know there aren't so many of them going on right now while the course is going on, but it is so vital that they continue, so vital. Just as important as the classes, the live classes we did yesterday and the homework that you're sending, it is these support groups that you've got going on for each other, because they, the ones that really engage in us and form relationships with other students and really take in the other students' challenges, breakthroughs as well, as much as you do your own. They're going to be growing. If there's, say, 25 students in this graduate program, I'm not sure of the exact number, but you can learn from 25 body-mind vehicles, and you can see the same pattern playing in all of these 25 body-mind vehicles. As you get to know each other and really work with each other more, support each other and love each other, which is happening, and that makes me so, so happy. And it's impossible to fail if you're plugging in that way. You just can't fail at all. Nobody can, but we can make it a very long, drawn-out process when it doesn't need to be. So I seem to have tons of resistance around the statements. Everybody does. And this is why even it isn't part of the core teachings yet. It's going to be in the new year. I'm going to run some core teaching classes. They will be included in that. But at the moment, there's only 3 core teachings. And I want to add this statement process to it so that there's 4. It'll be included in this new year. Everyone has resistance to statements. That's why it's not in there, because I found this really powerful, direct, simple way, which is going to go against all of our beliefs that it's difficult or hard or I'm not good enough or all of that. And they all play out, these beliefs, through the statement process. I can't do this statement process. I just seem to get stuck, or I really, you know, whatever it is, that I can't think of a statement, or I'm not sure I'm doing it right. So all of our beliefs about ourselves will play out in this very simple process, because it's so powerful, because it's so simple. And it even went off of my radar completely. I wrote it in the Empowerment Courses handbook, and then totally slipped underneath my radar as an effective way to bridge that gap for people whose contemplative process was taking them, you know, there was too big a gap vibrationally between what I'd seen to be true in my epiphanies, my realizations, my deepest meditation, and where I was living vibrationally, what thoughts I had about the situation in a particular area. So the statement process, anything that's kind of very direct and simple is going to be resisted to some degree by all of us at first. And just, it's so beautiful that you're recognizing that and you can just push through this. Really makes me very, very happy to get this feedback. I'll keep sitting in and get the hang of it. Yep. Just keep noticing this sense I can't, you know, this limitation, this feeling of limitation. Sending mountains of love and thanks. Good, good, good. Fantastic. Okay. Hi, Helen. I just thought I'd submit some homework, even though it's a little late. Well, it's in this week's, so that's all good. I've noticed over the last week or so that the intensity has lessened a bit with the inquiry questions. At the same time, there is less of a sense I must do these inquiries, more of a gentle curiosity taking place when I ask the questions. Good, good. Very good. So I'm probably asking the questions less often, but it feels like I'm not forcing the questions so much or trying too hard. I was wondering if this is okay. It feels like a pattern I've experienced many times during my spiritual journey. Periods of intensity with perhaps too much trying. So you can see the efforting from the ego that's trying to get somewhere. And then this period of relaxation where I still do the practice, but with a bit more curiosity. I think I've judged this switch before as if I'm failing, but I'm not too sure now. So that's really important as we begin to, as this just becomes a way of life, constant open questioning. We don't embrace that first because mind's trying to get to, ego's trying to get to the end where I've done enough study and that's it. And I'm finished and I'm done and I'm there and I've arrived. But as we begin to really enjoy how it feels to stay open, to always be imbibing more and getting deeper and deeper, then this effortless way of questioning is going to begin to come to the forefront. And as that switch over You know, I'm doing it because it's just joyful. It feels so lovely. It feels wonderful. I love exploring the depths of my own consciousness, pushing through limits. I love seeing that reflect in my life as ever greater breakthroughs and then in the world in general. That switchover is happening for us all. It's just to notice, just a little vigilance while it's switching over to make sure we don't drop inquiry. There'll be intense periods of efforting and then nothing, intense periods of efforting and then none, from the egoic perspective. But also at the same time in the background, slowly taking over is why I'm doing this work. Different to, I'm trying to get to the end point where I have no more problems anymore. It's joyful to see where I've been limiting myself with some idea and then pushing through that and seeing my life expand because of that, feeling more joy, more peace, more love, seeing more abundance in every way because I've broken through something. And that never stops. There's always some area that we can expand more in. No matter how good we feel, there's always more. And that's the thing that's starting to occur for you, you can see hopefully. You said that, I think I've judged this switch before as if I'm failing, but not too sure now. I'm still seeing a multitude of my patterns playing out and there is less suffering. So there's only one pattern. The pattern is that I'm transcending this stuff to try to get to the end of it, right? To try to get to the end where I can stick on my I'm enlightened now badge, you know, like, and I'm not saying this is what you're doing, only you, we're all doing it. I can feel like I've arrived and then I have no more problems. But as your problems become, patterns become springboards for greater joy and inquiry and openness, and the idea of asking a question becomes, even just that idea becomes, it gives you goosebumps or something or brings exquisite joy, then, you know, you're going to stop looking for this end and it won't be, I'm not trying to get somewhere with my inquiry. It's just embracing it more. I was just wondering if this pattern of intensity and then easing is a simply a natural cycle that happens to the body and mind, but not the self. It does, and it is of the egoic sense of self because it's changing. You know, it's efforting and then stopping, efforting and stopping. Lots of effort, no effort, lots of effort, no effort. And in the background, there's this effortless, joyful kind of reason for inquiring, building in all of us. So hopefully that helps. I've also revisited my inquiry into imminent and transcendent. I can see I settled on an answer, so I'd stopped with my inquiry. Very good, very good. My main answer when I ask these questions, when I ask these inquiries, is still silence. More and more, there are no thought answers, just silence. So as you stay with any question, the phenomenal answers are going to begin to disappear. Not because you're making them go away, but because more and more you see that the only permanent experiential answer is the noumenon, the silence. And every word in the English language is a synonym for that in the end, whichever we're looking at. The reason I set such kind of difficult texts sometimes, text, not difficult as in the words, sometimes the words, but because I'm trying to show you all this pattern that we have, and that is how we are coming to our patterns, how we are coming to our stuff. So we've gone through, as in the previous homework, I really don't want to look at this stuff, you know, not even knowing it's there as a separate being, just playing it out unconsciously, seeing it, transcending it. I'm not that, and using that as a way to kind of avoid dealing with it. And then, okay, I really want to embrace it, but there's still resistance, and I'm embracing it and loving it as much as I can to eventually let me get at this. Let me get into this. Let me love it. Let me transmute it. Let me, because the process is going to be so joyful. That's the pattern that's holding all the other ones in place. So when you really begin to look into anything that seems to be going wrong as an opportunity to move beyond limitation, to experience more joy, to help yourself and everyone around you at the same time, then that's really gonna, a lot of stuff will just evaporate in that. It's a work in progress for all of us, all of us. You know, there's always going to be something to see, some area where we could have a more expanded reflection, where there's some, you know, infinite really is infinite, but it should be joy coming with it. It should be, you know, wow, this is, instead of it being my personal problem, my karmic pattern, and it's my fault, it's here, and I have to fix it, and taking it on as a personal thing, blaming myself for it. It's like, okay, here's another energy I can transmute and send back into the wholeness, put back out there into humanity, more and more peace. And there's no greater way to live than that. So wonderful to read. After a much needed, sorry, this is next homework. After a much needed and appreciated kick up the bum, here is my homework. I often fall off the wagon when life is quiet and only get on again when the suffering kicks back in. Well, that's everyone, isn't it? Everyone could agree with that statement to some degree. I'm not going to let that happen this time. I've forgotten more times and remembered again, and I vowed never to forget again. Haha. This time I haven't forgotten, and I keep applying the question, but I recognize I wasn't listening to the answers. Life is wonderful. Now, any smidging of an issue, and I ask the question. I've got to say, nothing is sticking at this time. Life is quiet. I'm busier than I've been since my kids were young, and life is wonderful. I want to share that when I ask the question, any angst just can't be found. I want to share the comparison. So it's so good that this feedback is so, so helpful for all of us, because it means we are really changing the reason, as I was saying before, why we're doing this. You know, it's, if I came back to heal this stuff, then let me enjoy the process. I don't have to suffer through it. And, you know, when you begin to experience great joy and peace from doing this kind of inquiry, why on earth would you want to stop it? So as our reason for doing it changes, our enjoyment of it changes, reflects that. And then we're less likely to forget it anyway. You know, and there's less and less of the efforting, not efforting, you know, back and forth going on, remembering and forgetting the question. More and more we're just living as that question, which is what we're seeing in this feedback. I've had times when I thought it wasn't worth carrying on, as life was so painful. Working with Helen and doing this work has made and helped me be the real me. I'm achieving more than I thought I ever could. Life is quiet and extremely busy, and it's not phasing me. So I'm guessing you mean quiet inside, externally very busy and not phasing me. Wonderful. I'm able to recognize where there are issues, and now I'm appreciating how wonderful and expansive my life is. Beautiful. Work is amazing and I'm learning more each week. My family are amazing and relationships are great. Best of all, I know it can only get better. Isn't that wonderful to know? Please know I'm not bragging, and I want this for all of us. Run to any resistance. Asking the homework question, what is this really in regard to everything we are affected by, and even to the joy and love has brought so much more love and joy. Wonderful. You're even applying it to the positive stuff. Fantastic. Things are shown to me to look at, but there is little or no emotion. It's just something to look at. So again, we're kind of feeling less and less like, oh, all this heavy work to do. More and more kind of, here's another area that I'm going to burst through. Here's another place I would have held myself back. Here's another limitation I've been shaping my life into, and I can open it up. It's wonderful. I have been avoiding reading the text in the homework apart from the second week. I've just taken time to read them again. I'm also going to take some quiet time today for myself and tomorrow and contemplate why, why I'm avoiding them and see what is revealed. The statement process is amazing and reaps such rewards. Wonderful. So it's probably just this pattern playing out of, I don't want to look at this. It's probably something that you'll find in there, you know, some old sense of that. And that's why the texts embody the way that we come into the rest of our karmic patterns, how I feel about the Upanishad that was set as homework is kind of metaphorically epitomizing how we're dealing with the rest of it. And we can see if we pick the hardest thing that we don't want to study, so to speak, in our inner mind, how we come to that is going to be very, it's going to reveal how we are actually dealing with everything else. So this seems difficult. I can feel resistance to going into it. I don't really resonate with it, but let me actually see what it actually is anyway. What's the essence of this Upanishad rather than what I think about it? And again, there'll be great joy there. I also want to thank all of you for sharing in the group and with the homework, as you've all helped me be me. More to come in this wonderful life. Wonderful, wonderful. Everyone's homework helps everyone. It's just so beautiful that way, isn't it? Even if somebody sent in, as I said before, I've completely realized I've completely forgotten to do any homework this week. There's going to be somebody that hears that and says, oh God, it's not just me, phew. You know, so you can't get this wrong. And I really want to encourage you all to share, whether you're challenged or whether you feel wonderful or a mixture of both, it's going to be helpful. It's going to be helpful. Sharing your fears, your challenges, your resistances helps everyone. It's just so beautiful. I've read and reread the two scripts at length, repeating each sentence until it was heard fully. I don't know why I've been avoiding it. They're beautiful, simple words describing the indescribable. Wonderful. So we've been avoiding these things because of what we think about them. You know, we think there's some old archaic text talking about some, you know, some kind of truth that was long ago. But it's the same essence, the same wisdom as is found in any contemporary spiritual teaching or teacher, that it can be found everywhere. And I really began to enjoy this when I came to each teaching, a whole library of books and teachings and things I've listened to and watched with that same open attitude, the same joy is available. And it's not to say that you have to do that, but it's just to realize maybe I've never really actually encountered these things. You know, it's I had so many ideas about religion, about church, you know, because of the experiences I had as a child due to my programming. And the first time I went back in a church, it was after my awakening had really deepened. It was to help my father. You know, he was very physically ill at that point, and he really wanted to go. And I went so begrudgingly. I thought this was going to be awful, and it was just amazing. I couldn't stop sobbing, and I'm pretty certain they didn't say anything different than they had before. But the quality of the people there, and the energy, the devotion, the love that was gathered in that room, devoted to some higher cause, I had goosebumps and everything, you know. So, and I realized in that moment, I've never really experienced church before, even as a child. I'd never been able to fully imbibe what had been said, because my ideas about it were just constantly filtering out what I was hearing, what I was feeling. If you go into any old church or religious place or monastery or ashram or anything like that, you will feel the walls, the bricks, the stone, that is saturated with this devotional energy, and it'll make you cry as you begin to really experience things. And then the reason I'm telling you this is because of all the way we come to these old texts with these ideas. But the reason they're still so popular today is because they are emanating that same pureness of wisdom. So wonderful, wonderful. And last but not least, Hi Helen, I can see the echo of my word that has confronted me many times coming up as a karmic pattern. there is an opportunity to resist, run, or embrace this reverberation of the echo of untruth. Just another form of the self. So you might have all those every time. You might want to resist something when it comes up, run away from it, or run towards it. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, I think I mentioned it. I saw some area where there was some shame still the other day. And some place where I really hadn't wanted to see it inside, you know, something right at the bottom of the filing cabinet of the mind that says, do not ever, ever look in this in this drawer. And as I saw it, there was something there that said, just don't go there. But that was totally loved too, you know, and at the same time, there was this embracing of all of it. And it's not one or the other, is it? From Manas the Noumenon, it's all the ways I can deal with this are valid. And I just choose to identify with that which wants to wrap it in my love and my compassion and my wisdom and heal it. So lovely. Just another form of the self. Yep. It's just another shape it's taking, isn't it? This reverberation. I absorb this echo in love. Oh, that's wonderful. It originated out of my belief that the truth could be destroyed. The truth is not true. The original sin is this very error. My core misunderstanding. Very, very true. So the original sin is this very error. My core misunderstanding. My original response to this echo is that it has come here to destroy me. But I realize that it's here for my recognition of the many ways that my word can appear. As I continue to shift my identity to the noumenon. And it says to me, I am you. And for the first time, I did not run or resist. And the fear that was in the pit of my stomach just left. This is really hard to read. I mean, it's written beautifully, but I'm struggling to read this because it's so transcendent, because it's so beautiful, because it's so honest, and as you said very aptly, this is the original sin being error, missing the mark, ignorance of truth. And the original sin, then, the original ignorance, is that truth, there can be something other than truth, something that is not true, whereas reality, truth, is inclusive of illusion, because it just is so real. It can appear as either. It can appear as what is true and what is not true. The dread of facing this thing just left me as I realized that it was me. So immediately there's love there, right? The moment you realize this is me, of course I'm going to want to embrace it, rather than being something I have to face or do battle with. It has to be embraced in that seeing, doesn't it? And the dread of it, I'm not at the effect of it. It's not something coming at me anymore that can cause me to feel bad, hence the fear. It's just something that is me. It's something that I created accidentally from my wrong ideas, from my belief that there was something other than truth or the self or the essence. I created it accidentally, and now it's coming back for healing and wholeness. And even the most painful fragment of our psyche, even the most painful part of our conditioning, even the most painful experiences that we can remember can be totally, absolutely absorbed in that kind of space and that energy reabsorbed back into the whole. So the dread of facing this thing just left me as I realized it was me. The relief that came over me as I realized this gave me the strength to plant my feet and experience a different ending or not. It really didn't matter. I was making it all up anyway. Abiding as the self gives me the distance to see this. I must see this disturbance no longer as an intruder, but the love that I could not embrace. The love that I could not let in, had no choice but to show up another way. So as I've pushed this thing away, it's lowered in frequency because of my pushing it away. But when I recognize, you know, even just the idea that it's separate to me, this intruder, it's got to feel bad if I'm holding it as separate. The moment I realize it is me, it immediately shifts in frequency just in that. It will feel, it's not actually even this thing, is it? It's how I'm dealing with it, how I'm looking at it, how I'm holding it. If it's something I gave birth to in my belief in a separate being, it's not really separate to me, nor was it ever. And it's only felt like an intruder because I've been pushing so hard against it, feeling that it could affect me or hurt me. And then absolutely experiencing it when it came back, I didn't want to see it. And it was pushing and pushing and anything to stop looking at it. It's just beautiful what you're writing here. I must see this disturbance no longer as an intruder, but the love I could not embrace, the love I could not let in, had no choice but to show up another way. I am ready for love in its truest form, and I am the grace that makes this possible. Amen. It is absolutely wonderful to see this kind of feedback coming in. And it is absolutely wonderful to see you breaking through in this way, that there is nothing inside of me that I need to be scared of anymore. Nothing I gave birth to, created accidentally from my place of illusion, that cannot be healed and made whole from that place where it is me. Of course, I would want to, just like if I cut my hand, I want it to heal because it is me. It's not outside of me. So this negative perspective on something, this constricted, limited way of viewing myself or someone else or some memory or something that happened to me that's extraordinarily painful, all that can be re-embraced. That it's the way I'm holding these things when I believe it's separate to me, or when I believe that this energy form of a thought or an emotion or a memory or a pattern or something is real rather than the essence of it. The essence of even the worst karmic pattern is love. It's love distorted into some other frequency because I couldn't at the time see it as love. None of us can then. We can. Now we're beginning to see everything is love asking for this transmutation, just turning it back into. Your words in this are just absolutely beautiful and move me to tears. It's amazing to see another being that is able to embrace anything, that's no longer scared of themselves. This knowing that for the rest of my life, anything that comes up for me to look at, I can embrace. And I can also embrace the urge to push it away. It's such a simple thing and yet so profound, isn't it? That how I am coming to my own self, all the things that have arisen out of me and my innocent not knowing of what truth was at the time, not remembering the fullness of it, this original sin. Sin being, again, ignorance. Literally translates to missing the mark. And this is the eating of the apple from the tree, signifying what we think we know, suddenly going into knowledge and being a separate being, I know, rather than just the fullness, that that actually happened, that there actually was some fall from grace, and coming to the point where you can see that was never true. The absolute perfection of our divinity is listening to this right now, still untouched, unblemished, appearing as all of these shapes, so that we can allow them back into the fullness. And it becomes, rather than dealing with all this karmic stuff that's just, oh, when does it ever come to an end? It becomes this glorious, most important work of coming back whole again, bringing myself back into wholeness. Every little piece of myself that's broken off, that I couldn't embrace, is going to ask for this loving embrace. Wonderful, wonderful. Well done to you and to everyone that is in this graduate program. I wish you all experience the same way of living, that there is nothing inside me that I'm scared of anymore, even if I don't know what's in there yet, haven't seen it all, that I don't need to be scared of it, that I will, there is a place inside me already that I'm living as more and more, that can embrace anything and can embrace everything, that I'm big enough to fit the whole world inside me. First this world here, and then this world here. And what a beautiful way to live. Lovely. Thank you for your feedback, and I hope you've enjoyed listening, going through this with me. It's a wonderful time of the week for me to go through the homework. Absolutely love it. Thank you.